बुक ऑफ एक्ट्स चैप्टर 21 है, इज अ बिग चैप्टर एंड एज द स्पिरिट ऑफ द लॉर्ड गिव्स अस अ चांस वी विल रीड इट एंड सी हाउ फार वी गो. स्टार्ट फ्रॉम वर्स 1.
And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Cus, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. And when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, for their ship was to unlay her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem.
Okay, here we stop for a minute. If you remember last week, Paul gave the big sermon. People were crying and weeping. And from there, Paul started his journey. Now, we are not going in geography, but somehow he reached to the place, Cyprus, and came to Tyre, and there he saw the disciples coming to meet him because the ship was unloading the cargo, and so they had enough time. So now, the verse 4, it says, finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days. Now the disciples were very happy when Paul came to visit them. And there also Paul might have said to them, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. The names of the people are not given, but some of the disciples who had the spirit of prophecy, and those people start prophesying and telling the Paul that you should not be going to Jerusalem. And now Paul decided to go to Jerusalem. Now here some disciples are saying the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is telling us you should not be going to Jerusalem. But Paul did not pay attention what those people were saying. Let's say verse 5.
And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way, with wives and children, till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed.
Okay, now here, people were loving Paul and saying, Paul, please don't go, please don't go. But he didn't say anything. At this particular time, he made up his mind to go, and the people came out of the city. How far? They came up to the shore. You can see how much love they had. And the Word of God says not only the people, husbands, wife, and children, all of them followed Paul, and then they came and had a prayer meeting at the shore. He says they knelt down and prayed. Can you imagine? I don't know how many people were there. And I believe that many people got this kind of testimony from the children to the wives to the husbands, united, praying at the shore and letting the people know that we are the followers of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we are afraid to pray in a place. Even though sometimes you go to the restaurant and you got a food in front of you, and you are afraid to pray because if somebody is watching you and that person will say what he is doing, is he a Christian or something? But you should not be afraid. That's the time, is the testimony to other person to pray. So we should not be ashamed of gospel of Jesus Christ or the witness of Jesus Christ. Verse 6.
And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day.
When they come to another place, disciples came also there.
And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him.
Okay. Now when they came, stayed one day with this man, and now they are coming to the evangelist, his name is Philip. And you know that Philip was the one of the seven disciples were chosen to ministered to the disciples with the food and cooking and things like that. Out of that, Stephen and Philip did a great job. And the Philip is the one who went to Samaria, preached the gospel. Many people got saved, healed, delivered, and baptized. And now he went to Caesarea. And the word of God says, Philip is a married man, has four daughters. And all those four daughters are not married yet, and were serving the Lord. And they had the gift of prophecy and serving the Lord. So they went. Can you imagine? I don't know how many people were with Paul. They didn't give any notice to Philip that we are coming. Let's read verse 9.
And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus.
Now, how many days they lived? Many days. So many days living in that house, and nobody complains, but they are worshiping God, glorifying God, and praising God. That's called unity, love, and togetherness. It's very important when somebody comes to your house, you love them as your family, as your brother, and show them the love of Jesus Christ. And they should not be thinking that they are a burden, they came to you. We should be thinking they are blessing to you. And that's what these people did. The name is given for man. He came from, I think, Judea. And he came to the Philip's house where the Paul was staying. Maybe God told him to go. Maybe he came to give the message. And this man is a prophet. And this man did prophecy before. And Paul heard his prophecy. One time he said, there will be famine, and the people will be having problem. So they gathered the money, and Paul and Barnabas took the money and went to Jerusalem. So they had great respect for this prophet Agabus. Let's see what he's doing. Verse 11.
And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.
Okay, now this time, this man took the Paul's belt, tied his hands, his feet, and said, whoever's belt is this, that man will be bound in Jerusalem, handed over to Gentiles, and this is what's going to happen. So they recognize this is Paul's belt, and other people already did prophecy. He didn't listen to them. Now he's coming here, and Agabus is telling him, if you go to Jerusalem, this is what's going to happen. They are going to tie your hands and feet, and you are going to be delivered to the Gentiles. And sometimes people might say, Paul is wrong. He's not listening to the man of God. He's stubborn. People warn him, don't go to Jerusalem, and Paul is not listening. Now, these people, they loved Paul, and they got a vision from God, and they say, Paul, please don't go. You will be going in prison. They will be tying you, and these things will be happening. But the Paul did not listen. Let's read verse 12.
And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.
Okay, now what Paul is saying? Paul's saying, you people are discouraging me. And you are crying and weeping and breaking my heart. And if I listen to you, I might change my mind. But he says, I'm not going to change my mind because I know my calling. I'm not only allowing somebody to bind me, but I'm ready to die for Christ. That was his calling. He would have stayed in some other places when the people said don't go. Do you think that means he would have lived forever? No. death is for everybody. One of these days, when Jesus Christ calls us, we have to go. Nobody can tell me that this many days I'm going to live. Some people say, oh, okay, I'm young, so you're going to die first. I'm going to die later. How many young people are dying today? Now, there is no guarantee that how long somebody is going to live because of their young and strong and things like that. Everything is in the hand of God. The Word of God says there is a time appointed by God. Once to die, after that judgment. But thank God we don't have a judgment because we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So the Paul has nothing to lose. Paul is saying, don't discourage me not to go. Now, they were not discouraging. They thought they had the mission. They thought this is the prophecy. God is telling us to tell Paul. But in this prophecy, there was not a single word we read, Paul, do not go. Paul, I'm telling you, do not go to Jerusalem. God didn't say that. God only revealed to those people, tell Paul, this kind of trouble is ahead of you. The Spirit of God did not say, don't go. Prophet said, don't go. Other people said, don't go. But they never said, the Spirit of God tell us, you should not go. They thought if he's going to bound and if he's going to be prison, it's better for him not to go. But God did not tell Paul not to travel. So this was God's plan. So they tried to tell him not to go, but he was not persuaded. He said no. God talked to Paul many a time, right? God would have said to Paul, Paul, don't go. I don't think that Paul is going to disobey God. Once directly God tells you to not to do something, and then you do, then you will be in trouble. But sometimes God will tell you ahead of time what's coming, so you will be prepared. So Paul was prepared very well because he knew what the trouble is coming. God did not tell Paul not to go. So people should not be saying, Paul, disobey God. You understand the point what I'm making here? Paul did not disobey God. People will tell you, Paul disobeyed God. Holy Spirit told him not to go. Holy Spirit never told him not to go. Holy Spirit said, what's going to happen when you go? Paul dedicated his life to go anywhere. So there was not a single place is safe for the man of God. We feel so comfortable living in one place and we do not want to move. But if the time comes, wherever God tells you to go, you go. So that's why he was not persuaded. Verse 14.
And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done.
Right. So that's the proper thing to do. They should have said, this is what God's Spirit is telling us, the Holy Spirit is telling us, but let the will of God be done. That wherever you go, God will give you grace to bear all these trials and tribulations and problems coming your way. Life is not easy. But if God is with you in trials and tribulation, then you don't have to worry. Shadrach and Meshach, if they would have said, please, Lord, don't send us in that fire, God would have done it, right? But when they went to fire and they came out of the fire without trace of burning, that is more miracle than not going to fire. You understand? Same way, Martha and Mary called Jesus when Lazarus was sick. Purposely, Jesus didn't come. He tarried 2 more days. And what happened? Lazarus died. And Mary and Martha start thinking, we thought Jesus loves my brother. And he didn't come. Just think Jesus would have come right away. And the man was sick and he would have prayed for him and got healed. You remember, Peter's mother-in-law had a fever. he came and healed her, and the word of God says she got up and started serving the people, and many people came and he prayed for them. That was a miracle. We do not know how old the Peter's mother-in-law was. We do not know what kind of severe sickness or fever she had. Nowadays we know how the fever is. Some fever can kill you. And so we do not know, but Jesus healed her, and that was a miracle. If Jesus would have come and healed Lazarus, that would be a similar miracle. But Jesus knew, now we want to show these people who has the authority and power over the life. And who is a life giver? Jesus Christ has the power to resurrect. That's what he says. I am the resurrection and I am the life. Paul did not sit there and cry with those people. What did he say? Don't try to discourage me. I'm ready to die. What is the greatest punishment than death? Once you decided to die, then you should not be afraid of anything. We are living for Jesus Christ. And death should not be making you afraid. Death is conquered by Jesus Christ. Amen. We are nothing to be afraid of death. We are living for Jesus Christ. If you die today, we will be going in a better place. Then somebody says, why can't I go and stand on the street and get zapped and die faster? You'll go to hell. Because you are killing yourself. You have to be wait upon the Lord. When your time has come, then you'll go. But you should not be afraid of dying, and you should be ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go. Verse 15.
And after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple, with whom we should lodge. When we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly.
Okay, now hear what happened. They came, all of these people who are traveling with Paul, and they came from Caesarea. Now they're coming to Jerusalem. And so now they are coming to see all the apostles. And the word of God said they received them gladly, thinking, thank God, Paul, you are safe. You did all this traveling and you came safe here. We are happy to receive you. Now let's see what happens. Verse 18.
And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry.
Okay, now he meets all these big ministers. And now, he also is a great man of God, but those people are the founders, like a Peter and James and all these big ministers. Now, when he came there, like a humbly, he's telling what God was doing in his ministry. And especially he was talking how God used him where he was serving Gentiles and the Jewish people. And science and wonders and miracles happen. And he was so happy that these people are listening to my testimony and they are glad. But see what's happening after all of this listening, everything going over their head and they telling Paul to do something else. Okay, let's read verse 20.
And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord, and said unto him, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law.
What they're saying to him, Paul, in your ministry, you went to Gentiles, you went to Jewish people, and many Jewish people got saved through your ministry. And many people got saved and came to Jesus Christ. But all of those people, they are very jealous about the law. Means what? They want to observe the law. even though they came to Jesus Christ, but those Jewish people want to do the Mosaic law. And that's what they are trying to convince the Paul. They are saying, Paul, in your ministry we saw you are against the law. What you're telling people, when you're born again, child of God, you don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to do this law or that law. You are free from the law. He says God has redeemed us from what? The curse of the law. That's what Paul's saying. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13. He says, God has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Why should we go under the law? That's what Paul's teaching is. So now these Jewish people are a little bit confused. They're saying, Paul, you're teaching something wrong. And all the Jewish people and Gentiles coming, but you should be teaching Gentiles separate thing, and you're teaching Jewish people separate things. I don't think that's what God wants, right? God wants unity, not divisions. So they're thinking that the Gentiles, Christians, will be a second-class Christians. Jewish Christian should be first-class Christian. That's what in their idea was. Don't get mixed up with the Gentiles and Jews. And we don't want this to equal to Gentile, Jewish people. Jewish people have their own laws. So Jewish people should be treated differently than the Gentiles. And that's what they were telling Paul. I'm not saying Paul was afraid, he was ready to die, but sometimes people compromise. Here Paul made a mistake. I am just saying it. Maybe some people may not say he made a mistake, but I'm saying Paul made a mistake here. What mistake he did, you will read when we go further. Now here, all these apostles are telling him, Paul, you are a great man of God. You have a signs and wonders and miracle ministry. Gentiles are coming to the Lord. But we gave a certain law for Gentiles. Teach that law to Gentiles. And we have certain laws for Jewish people. Teach that to Jewish people. And we want Jewish people to be Jewish Christians. Gentiles be Gentiles Christian. Don't mix up those things, people together. That's what they were saying. Let's read further.
They are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come.
Okay, now see what they're saying. They're saying you are teaching wrong things. You are telling against Mosaic law, you are telling about the non-Jew circumcision, but he says now wish all of these people who heard, they should come together. Are they saying that come together? Actually, they are dividing. They are not telling people that you should listen to Paul, and Paul is a great man, and Paul wants everybody to unite him. That's what Paul was doing. He was bringing Gentiles and Jews together, and then saying, now we are all the children of God, we are all one. And this is the way we should be going. And he was saying, even though Abraham was called, he was called before the circumcision. So he believed God, and you believe God, we are all one. That's what Paul was teaching. But now they are coming and telling Paul, brainwashing Paul, to listen to them and not to listen to God, what God told him to do. Let's see what happens.
Do therefore this that we say to thee, we have four men which have a vow on them. Then take and purify thyself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law.
What they're trying to say, we want to prove to other people that you are keeping the law. That means you are also under the law. And how can you prove it to people? He said there are four people. They made a vow to God, and they kept their long hair or whatever. Their promise is finished. Now they want to go to the synagogue or the temple and want to shave their heads. Now you go with them, and you pay the money, means whatever the fee or whatever the sacrifice, you pay from your pocket, and stand with them and witness and say, I am with you and I believe what you're doing. So they are saying to witness to all the Jewish people here that you obey the law and this is what we're doing according to the law. You go with them and do these things, and then all of the people will think you are also a Jewish man and you observe the law and you keep the law. What Paul should have said? Paul should have said, listen, I'm not telling you Jewish people what to do, what not to do. This is what God has called me, to tell people we are all one in Jesus Christ. There is no male or female. There is no rich or poor. We are all the believers in Jesus Christ. If Gentiles comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, we should not be forcing them to circumcise. And if you are Jewish and you are already circumcised, you cannot change anyhow. But you don't have to circumcise to go to heaven. Because we learn, the word of God says, circumcise your heart, not your flesh. And that's what Paul's supposed to say to these people. And even though they kill him, he should die for preaching the truth. But Paul made a mistake here. And he said, okay, if that's the way you want me to do, I will do it. This was compromise, right? So when you compromise, you get into more problem. So let's see what happens.
As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication.
Okay, now they're saying, didn't we write a letter when you are in Antioch and told you how to treat Gentiles? And now why are you treating the Jewish people like a Gentiles? So Gentiles should be separately treated and Jewish people will be separately treated. That's what they're trying to convince Paul. Verse 26.
Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them.
Now, Paul agreed, goes with them, and say, okay, I'm agreeing, let's go, and let's do it, and let's prove it to those people that I am a Jew, and I abide by law, and that's what he wants to do. Now, just think, if Paul was doing right thing, then God will support it, right? Then there should not be riot. There should not be any problem because God confirmed it. But this was not God's plan. So what happened? Let's read.
And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him.
Right. Now you see what happened? When he went, if he was doing the right thing and proving to people not to fight with him, not to bother him, I'm a Jewish man, leave me alone. Did it work? No, it didn't work, but it was more trouble to him. Okay, let's read verse 28.
Crying out, men of Israel, help. This is the man that teaches all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and have polluted this holy.
Okay, now what they are trying to say, even though this man went into the temple, I'm talking about Paul, doing everything what the law is saying, they already saw what he is doing, but they are saying, don't you believe this man? Paul is what he's doing right now here, but he is not the right person. He's doing wrong thing everywhere he goes, but now he's a phony man, trying to cover up and trying to say, no, I'm observing the law, but he is not the person what he does. And so they stir up the people to beat him up. And they surrounded him, almost arrested him. Okay, let's read verse 29.
For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus in Ephesus, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut.
Okay, now what did they say? This man is polluting, destroying our temple. Even though he took the Jewish people and did according to Jewish law, but somebody came and said, we saw one man with you. That was a Gentiles. We saw in a marketplace, we were with you. So we know that you might have bought this person in the temple. Paul didn't take him. But they're saying the Gentiles in the temple and you are defiling our temple. So they didn't want anybody. They kicked them out of the temple and shut the temple door so nobody could come. And I was just thinking, the temple, synagogue, or a church should be open for all people. If you go to India, there is a certain caste called Pharisees. And Pharisees, they came from Persia. Those people do not want any other person come to their religion. They don't want anybody. They just want to keep their religion pure. There's another religion called Sikhs, Punjabis, the turban people. They do not want any other people coming to their religion. They want their religion for themselves alone. So things like that. And so the church door should be open to everybody. Synagogue should be open to everybody. And every denomination should have door open to everybody, because we should have freedom to choose what you want. People are not born Christian or not born Muslim or not born Hindus. You have to have the knowledge of what you're doing. Don't follow because your parents were Hindu, so I'm Hindu. My parents were Muslim, that's why I'm Muslim. You have to study the Word of God. And we should have freedom to anyone to receive any religion they want. And that's what America is doing. We have religious freedom. Let's read further. 31.
And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and soldiers, they left beating of Paul.
Okay, now what happened here? They pulled Paul out of the synagogue, and they did not say, get out of the synagogue, but they want to kill him. And they start beating. And the people were making a lot of noise and didn't know what's happening. So police officer came and the military came. And then when they came there and finding out what's happening, they were already killing Paul. So they stopped beating when they saw the higher authorities came with maybe soldiers. They had the all kinds of instruments. Those days didn't have the gun, but maybe some sticks and so swords. So they stopped. They thought they will be arrested also. 33.
Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing, some another, among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle.
Okay, can you imagine? Now these people making a lot of noise, beating the Paul, but when the people said, what's going on? What is the crime? They're doing something, but they did not know what they were doing. So when these people coming and beating the Paul and doing things, and somebody said, what are you doing? I don't know. So these people are out of their mind. That's what the Word of God says. You should have what? Sober mind. And when somebody asks you a question, you should know. If somebody question about your salvation, you should know how to answer them. You cannot say somebody, I don't know. If you don't know the answer, that's a different thing. But if somebody asks somebody, they always say, I don't know. We should know what we are doing. Why are we following Jesus Christ? Somebody say, why you follow Jesus Christ? I don't know. Because my mom tells me to go to church, that's where I'm going. That is not the real answer. We should know why we're following Jesus Christ. And we should know what we're doing, why we're doing it. Okay, let's go 35.
And when he came upon the stairs, so it was, that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, away with him. And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, May I speak unto thee? Who said, Canst thou speak Greek?
Okay, now what happened here, when the people were beating the Paul, we missed one line here, they carried Paul in their arms. I was thinking when the people, the soldiers or the police officer carried Paul in their arms, so the Paul has to be a skinny man. If he was like a 300, 400 pound, it will be hard for them to carry. So they carried him in their arms, and then they came to the stairs and said, oh, then Paul says, I want to say something. And then he said, okay, do you know the Greek language? They didn't know who Paul was. They didn't know he's a Hebrew man or Greek man or Egyptian, who he is. He said, we want to know if you know the language. Let's read further.
Art not thou that Egyptian which before these days madest an uproar and leddest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers? But Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people.
Right. Now these people didn't know who the Paul was. They said maybe he's some kind of leader of some bad people. And he says, you might be the one of them. He said, no. I am the man from Tarsus. I want to talk to these people. And so he took the permission from the soldiers to say something. Let's read the words for it.
And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying,
say that this is the way the chapter is finishing. But he stood there and told the people, please calm down with his hands. And he said, I want to talk to you. And he wanted to talk to those people in their own language. And sometimes, you know, people have a lot of respect for their own language. I was preaching the gospel in Bombay City. And I had friend with me from South India and Madras and Andhra. And I was standing on the stage with them and preaching to those people in a different language, means national language. So those people came and tried to pull us from the stage and almost tore my clothes. So I just said to them, in the local language. And I start talking to them in a local language, and that people start to say, they start saying, if you are from this own city, you know our language, why did you join with these people? I said, sir, my language is your language. I'm talking to your language. That doesn't mean I should not worship Jesus. Is there any law that if I know a particular language, I should not receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? So those people came to know that this man knows our language, so they were a little bit kind to me because they knew that I know their language. So they were kind, they stopped fighting, and they came to me afterwards and asked forgiveness. So please forgive us, because we do not like these foreigners, and that's why we were angry. They are taking over our city. And then they came and talked with me and asked forgiveness. That's what's happening here. Paul said, I'm not Egyptian. I'm not Greek. I'm Hebrew. I want to talk to you in your own language. And they stopped and they want to listen. Now, God willing, next Sunday, we will see what Paul is saying. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Give us grace, Lord Jesus, to follow you. And not to compromise, but tell the truth to the whole world. Let the whole world know that we are called by Jesus Christ. And no turning back. Be with us, sanctify us, and use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.